Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. Joining us now is Mike Lux, who's a partner at Democracy Partners. He's also the co-founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies. He served as a special assistant to the president for public liaison in the White House from 1993 to 1995. And he's the author of the widely praised book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mike Lux.
Thanks very much for having me.
So, Mike, what do you expect the president to say today in terms of laying out a progressive agenda? My understanding is he's going to try and make nice to the Republicans in the hope that they can get something done. And I'm wondering whether making nice to people who are about to tank the economy and create a new recession is necessarily a useful exercise.
Well, I'm not clear that he's going to make nice. It'll be fascinating to see what he decides to do. And I have not seen any advance copies of the speech. What I've been told by White House officials is that there'll be a heavy focus on the economy, on strengthening and rebuilding the middle class. They'll talk about immigration reform. They'll talk about guns. They'll talk about, you use the president's formulation of a balanced approach in terms of the budget, combination of taxes and budget cuts. So I think he's going to stick pretty heavily to the themes that he's been sticking to for the last year. And I don't know that translates into being nice to the Republicans. I have no doubt that he will, like all presidents, he will make rhetorical gestures of outreach, talk about how much he wants to work with them, how much he values their ideas, how he's willing to look at any idea that gets him to his goals, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't expect that this will be a speech that will make an old progressive like myself cringe in terms of its, reaching out in uncomfortable ways to Republicans.
But if they are determined to go ahead with sequester, which, by the way, Eric Cantor and Mitch McConnell refer to as the Obama sequester, even though all the Republicans just about, and only a few Democrats actually voted for it, and it was something that came out of the Republican House. So they seem determined, and we just know from Economics 101 that if you take out billions of dollars out of an economy that's struggling to recover, you will create another recession and millions of Americans will be impoverished. And what's the point? I mean, isn't that a reckless endangerment of the American people?
Yes, it is. No question about it. And I hope that the Republicans will be called to task for this. I know that the president is going to talk very forcefully about how, they need to do a balanced deal rather than doing the sequester. So I don't think there's any question that will come up. State of the Unions aren't traditionally, you don't tend to have traditionally the most pointed partisan rhetoric. So I don't know how much he's going to directly bang on them over that. But I think he will be, and hope he'll be pretty forceful in saying why he disagrees with what they're doing.
Well, it seems that with John McCain constantly trying to undermine him and Lindsey Graham on this kind of jihad against both him and Hillary Clinton over this trumped-up Benghazi story, that you would think that the president would at least have to address the North Korean nuclear test. Do you think that a part of Lindsey Graham and John McCain's petulance and anger towards the president is the fact that he's taken away national security from the Republicans, that he's out-hawked them?
Well, of course. I mean, these guys are seeing their neocon dreams go up in smoke because the president, has been aggressive on foreign policy. In my opinion, he's been too aggressive at times. I think this drone stuff without judicial review is actually pretty awful. But clearly, the president has completely undercut people like McCain and Lindsey Graham with their neocon dreams, and he's put them in a position where they don't really have much credibility anymore on those issues. So they're going to object to everything he does and everything he says in that regard.
Again, I'm speaking with Mark Glucks, a partner at Democracy Partners and the co-founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies. He served as a special assistant to President Clinton for public liaison in the White House from 1993 to 1995 and is the author of the widely praised book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be. What's your sense then of the president's priorities, particularly given that he's been forced, in effect, into taking up gun control, which the Democrats have shied away from? He has to talk about global warming because we've had these repetitive superstorms that are going to become both more powerful and more frequent as global warming becomes real. He's also got the deal with gay rights and immigration. This starting to look like a pretty ambitious agenda, and unless the Democrats somehow turn things around in 2014, and it doesn't happen as normally when in the midterms, the party that owns the White House gets a drubbing. If that happens, then he's a lame duck a lot quicker than he would normally be. So two questions, really. Can the Democrats change things in 2014 so that they can actually get something done with this second term? And two, has the president spread himself too thin?
Well, there's a lot of questions and a lot of subtopics within those questions. First of all, on the spreading too thin, you don't have any choice when you're president, in my opinion. I worked in the Bill Clinton White House. We went in saying that we were going to focus like a laser beam on the economy, and we did focus a lot on the economy. Most of our first year was spent getting an economic package passed with not a single Republican vote that really did help improve the economy dramatically over the next 8 years. We created 23 million jobs and went from a deep budget deficit to a budget surplus because the economy was so strong. Not, by the way, mostly because of budget cuts, but because the economy was so strong. That's how you create surpluses. But we still had other issues we had to deal with. Presidents have to deal with a world of issues. It's the nature of the presidency. You have things come up that don't expect. You have issues raise their head that you don't expect. And it would be wrong as a president not to deal with important things. I would also add that on an issue like immigration, for example, I think immigration is tied very closely to the economy. The fact that we've got this whole class of of folks who are treated terribly, who are exploited by employers, who get terrible wages because they don't have documentation papers, and there's no path to getting them right now. That affects the entire economy, and there's been all kinds of research that shows that if you get immigration done, you can do something to help the economy. You talk about being spread thin, but there are things like that. I would add implementing the Health Care Act that was passed in the first term, Obamacare. You get things like that done, it does help the economy, which helps on jobs, which helps on the federal budget deficit. A lot of these things are interrelated. I guess that's how I would respond to the spreading too thin. You have to do multiple things when you're president. You have to be able to walk, chew gum, and do all kinds of other things at the same time. There's no choice in the matter. Secondly, I would say that we do have a good chance in 2014. I've seen some polls recently that show that the Republicans in Congress have the single worst brand of any political entity, any political institution in the entire country. On the generic poll in terms of members of Congress, where the latest polls I've seen show us leading by 8 points. We won by 2 in the last election, and we picked up 8 seats. So I also remember in 2006 when everybody said there was no chance whatsoever because of redistricting that the Democrats would take back the House. Turns out we picked up 31 seats, took back the House easily, and added another 20 seats in the next election. So these kinds of elections, you don't know what's going to happen. In 1998, it was the sixth year of Clinton's term. Everybody said we would lose a lot of seats. The Lewinsky affair happened. Everybody said we were going to lose more. We ended up picking up five seats. So I think I'm actually quite optimistic in our ability to get that done. And I think you had some other things I wanted to respond to in those questions okay. as well. But that's probably enough talking for the moment.
I was just going to add to that your old boss, Bill Clinton, gave the House Democrats a pep talk recently, just last Friday, in fact. And he told them to own health care, that they should be proud of Obamacare, which I've never understood why Obama has not been full-throated in his support of his own major achievement. But just in closing, Mike Lux, the Republicans are putting up a couple of Tea Party candidates. Rubio, who's died in the wall Tea Party, a protege of Jim DeMint, even though our press is talking about him now as the kinder and gentler face of the Republican Party. I think they're completely off the mark there. And then, of course, you've got the other Tea Party zealot, Rand Paul, as well, giving addresses. Is this going to further have them relegate themselves to loony land?
I think so. You know, the Republicans, they really don't have a choice in terms of putting up these far, far right-wing folks because their primary voters, their base, absolutely demands it. They would go wild if they actually had a moderate Republican speak on an issue or give the response to the president. So they're locked in, and so they can't move on the issues, and their entire strategy has been, let's see if we can't figure out how to soften it rhetorically maybe a little bit, but they're locked in an issue box that is so extreme that it's going to be very, very hard for them to get out of it. So they're going to keep putting up people like Rubio and Rand Paul, who are, you know, crazy folks. There's no doubt about it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the, just in advance of the President's State of the Union address, Mike Lux.
Very happy to do it, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Mike Lux, who's a partner at Democracy Partners and the co-founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies. He served as a special assistant to President Clinton for public liaison in the White House from 1993 to 1995, and he's the author of the widely praised book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be.